Welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and back on the show, I think it is the third stint that he has been on, but it's always great to catch up with Kevin Carr. Kevin, how are you?
Good. Happy to be here. Yeah. Third time.
I know. I think it is the trifecta for you, which is it's a good sign. It means that you have produced some really good shows up to this point. Let's see if we can continue the cycle going forward.
Yeah, I'm glad I could please the crowd here.
And unfortunately, it's like it is 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. So I know you get up relatively early for work. You're like a 4:30 type person.
I've always been an early bird, but yeah, I try to do the after 5 a.m. is generally where I prefer to get up. But yeah, sometimes I'm 4 or 5.
And real quick, I don't know, are you a UFC guy?
Casual fan.
Okay, yeah, see, I'm not. But I watched it last night because of CM Punk, and then we're recording this the day after that, and that was just a shame. I'm looking for someone to talk to because I feel bummed for CM Punk, but I guess it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know what happened, but I feel bad for him too. I guess
he got destroyed. He got he got choked out. So
I thought he was a wrestler.
He is. He's a fantastic professional wrestler with a great personality, but 2 years of training, I guess, doesn't make up for going up against someone with like 12 years of training. Go figure.
Stick to what you're good at, I guess.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I want to cover today, but, starting off with just talking about, starting to talk about training, you are someone that has been traveling a lot. You've been traveling a lot for our CFSC events and going and doing mentorships and doing, lots of events in the field, whether it be presenting or just going and attending the event. So this is something that I think isn't really addressed enough because we do live in a world where, people are flying a ton. So how are you, what is your protocol for making sure that you're able to stay up with your mobility and your strength training to make sure all that travel doesn't take its toll on you?
It's funny, actually. I just talked to my client, Karen, about this the other day, and I think you have to kind of go in with a mindset. It's just going into competition. When you do it a lot, before I fly, I don't eat airplane food. I don't touch airplane food. I refuse. It's one of those things where you're on the plane and they continually offer you the food, and I'm like, no, I'm good. No, mm-hmm. I'm good. And I don't care if it's a 15-hour flight or a 3-hour flight. That never does well with me. I have a pretty good stomach too, but I'm fine. If I eat airplane food, I generally feel pretty terrible. And as much as I like beer, I try to just stick to water or coffee, mm-hmm. While I'm flying, just cause you generally just feel worse. And then as far as movement goes, I'll just do anything to keep joints moving. I'm a great plane sleeper. That's one of my good skills. I can pretty much conk out pretty well, but if I am up, I try to get up and move around, and some of the better airlines, Lufthansa has a big galley. I'll just be a weirdo. I'll hang out there and move all my joints, just so I don't stiffen up. Because no matter how well you move, if you sit on a plane for 8-12 hours, you're gonna feel pretty terrible. But then I try to make it a policy for myself. No matter how tired I am, when I get somewhere, I do something. It doesn't have to be the hardest workout ever, but I make sure head to toe, I move all my joints. If I can get to the gym at a hotel or whatever, grab a dumbbell, just do a quick circuit, and that generally makes a huge difference. For me feeling better that day, but especially the next few days, it helps you hit the reset button. So I always tell my clients, especially go there, either run through a quick mobility circuit, just address everything from your toe to your neck, start moving stuff. Or if you can get in a quick workout where you sweat, I think that's probably the best option. And I would say it's consistency is king. It doesn't have to be what you normally do in the gym, but just get moving and get sweating. And for me, that's kind of been a saving grace, especially all the travel in the last year.
Yeah, I can totally echo just the water thing. When I go, and you're doing these long journeys too now, going to Europe, you're going to Germany a lot. We're getting ready to send you to Australia, and for those long journeys, making sure you're getting in a ton of water, that's what has made me survive those trips to Japan, because otherwise, I don't do well with the sleep and the jet lag. So it's a real rough combo there.
yeah, that plane dries you out like big time. Yeah. I'm just another water, keep them coming when they walk by.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, this is completely, well, it's, it is on the subject, but like the new Dreamliners, they're actually trying to compress the cabins to a lower altitude. So like trying to simulate more 6,000 feet above the ground instead of like, you know, 10, which should have a severe impact on, you know, like you said, drying you out and just like what its effects are on your body. But this is still, not every plane is a Dreamliner. They're mostly 777s or 737s and all that stuff. So kind of going off of that, like you also are dealing with, and if people haven't listened to the previous interviews that we've done with Kev, he has Movement as Medicine that is attached to Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. That is your massage therapy business that you have there that you started up with Brendan Rarick, and you got Marco Sanchez, and you got Scott working out of there now. I'm kind of curious, like you're seeing a ton of bodies now, both in the athletic and in the I mean, I know we like to call our adults athletes as well, but that adult population that's more like the worker, working those 9-to-5s or whatever it is. Usually it's a lot more than that with the people that we see coming through the doors. But I'm kind of curious, like, what are the common like movement dysfunctions that you're seeing in those populations? And are there any, of course you're giving people specific prescriptions, but are there any like general prescriptions that you find yourself giving to people across the board to make sure that they're maintaining, you know, proper mobility?
Well, I definitely see, you know, the common things you hear from everybody, like see a lot of like chronic back pain. Our population, like whether it's athletes or former athletes who are now at desks, lots of hips, and things like that. But I the biggest surprise that I've told everybody recently is I never thought I'd be working on so many people below the knee, like a lot of lower leg, issues and feet issue, foot issues. So that's not something I expected, but I definitely see a lot of like PF, like plantar fasciitis type symptoms. And that's kind of, again, like another garbage term for, you know, my foot hurts, big toe issues, Achilles, calf type issues. And I think it's because a lot of people neglect their feet, right? Like you spend all this time on them and then you bury them in shoes. You never stretch them. And you don't really pay attention to anything else, but your torso. Like when people think about stretching, they think about their hips and their shoulders and their neck maybe. So that's been the biggest surprise is like I've gotten a lot of experience working with feet, and I've found a lot of my prescriptions recently for people to kind of check back in with themselves and do mobility, or, you know, taking your shoes off. And a great book that Marco actually had referred to me was Balanced and Barefoot. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who the author is right now off the top of my head, but they it's a lot of talk about, you know, taking care of your feet and the value of being barefoot. And it's not like one of the over the top, like, you know, running books where they tell you to, you know, pound the pavement without shoes on, but it's just about self-care and the value of that. So I've been prescribing a lot of, just head to toe mobility, but making people wake up and think about their feet. But in general, you know, the idea from like Andre Ospina and doing like controlled articular rotations or, like he says, like cars, just teaching people, like you said, the office jockey, the guy who sits at the desk, or the woman who sits at the desk all day, teaching them, okay, like take a minute and let's just get your neck through a full range of motion. Take a minute, just get your hip and your ankle through a full range of motion, and having them check in and just get their joints moving, because mobility is really just a use it or lose it, you know, quality. Like, and it's that simple. Like if you don't use that range of motion, your body's going to eventually take that away from you. Like mobility is a privilege that you tend to lose over the course of your life if you don't do the things to maintain it. So I'm usually just giving out like prescriptions to say, okay, you know, throughout the day I want like 10 active neck circles or 10 active shoulder circles. They're easy to do. The big thing is like you or I might spend some time getting down. Like I don't care if I'm in the airport and I get down and I stretch on the floor and people look at me, right?
Right.
But generally a lot of people, one, they're not going to want to do it. And then if they feel awkward. So a lot of these things are really easy for people to do. And that's the most important thing, because consistency, just like we were talking about with training, is the most important thing. So just a lot of full body mobility work to check in and just keep joints moving.
Let's jump around a little bit, because like I was mentioning before, you've been doing a ton of travel, and we just kind of came off of just a, a crazy summer of CFSC events. Like, if people don't know, like, we run this certification education outside of Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning called Certified Functional Strength Coach. And we were at all the Perform Better Summits this year. We actually sold out all of them except Orlando, which is the first year that they've had the summit out there. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Orlando Summit is like next year. Hopefully people will start realizing, A, Perform Better Summits, if you're near one, you get your ass to those things, and B, the pool is about 10 feet from the lecture rooms.
I said, I'm never missing Orlando,
right?
Ever. But that pool, that was that Chris Poirier, just he nailed it with that place. So,
oh my God,
yeah, that's going to be a popular one, I think, in the next few years.
Absolutely. But like with all that stuff, like we've had the chance, and like you even more so, like you were literally running a mentorship out of MBSC last week. Like, you and we get to talk to tons of people and get to see like kind of how they're running, whether it be their programming system or their business. And now that you've been doing, you know, so much of this over the last couple of years, I wonder, like, for you, have you been seeing any kind of like common areas of like, not needs of improvement, but, you know, things that people have come up to and said to you, like, hey, like, I can't believe, like, thanks so much that I was able to see how like you or MBSC does this, because this is something that I think we could have used huge improvement on. Is there anything that you're seeing kind of across the board or just in general with people that are coming to you for education?
Just being, you know, like, brilliant at the basics. Like, that's, I mean, if you think about what we do, right, with the CFSC, it's, you know, having a really, really, really good command of the basics. And it, that's not exciting to people, right? Like, like, if you look at a lot of the certifications that sell or the things that are really, that get popular, it's like, it's what's sexy, right? But that's, if you actually train anybody, like, if you guys listen to this, if like you train people, like, you spend most of your time in the 90% of fundamentals, because most people who walk into your gym don't have a big training experience behind them. They have a pretty low training age. And so when I see coaches come in, like I did that 2-day mentorship last week, and I did a 2-hour workshop for a bunch of coaches from a local health club just yesterday. And we essentially, everyone has done like all these certifications. I read these books, but like, just the big thing I find us revisiting whenever I teach is, okay, if you're coaching a goblet squat, right, like, and they're struggling, like, what is your SOP? What's your standard operating procedure to regress them or progress them? And what, I mean, Mike, credit to him, like, that is what he's developed in us at the gym and what we've, again, translated into the cert to be able to give to other people is just like, what is your system? And it goes back to the checklist manifesto thing in our whole progression-regression system. Like, yesterday, when I was teaching them, they were like, they came to learn about Olympic lifting, which was awesome. We did a great Olympic lifting workshop with these awesome coaches yesterday. But what they were really fascinated by was the progression regression model. And like, oh my God, like, you have like, this is how you make it harder, this is how you make it easier, and everyone does it the same way. And that is, I mean, without a doubt, what I think is the biggest value add for people who come and see us at the cert or people who come to mentorships.
Yeah, I think that's a really great way to put it, because I think it's when I talk to people at, like, I'm the guy that's standing behind the booth for the Perform Better Summits for the most part, and, you know, to try to help people better understand like what the CFSC is and really what like the MBSC system is in general. It's, you know, making sure that you never are having that like thought, like, either A, I thought. Like, that's a thing that comes up a lot, is like a common thing that Mike brings up. Like, he should never hear, I thought this was the best idea. Like, you should kind of know every single course of action that you're going to take for pretty much every situation that comes up, or you should have a general idea of what direction that you should go in. Because, you know, again, you have people that may not be able to do the movement that you give them that morning. They might have had a rough weekend. They might just had like you, they might have been on a plane for 12 hours, and you might need to see, all right, they can't do that. What's going to be plan B, C, and D? And if like you don't have that in as part of your, like, I like to make it like your playbook, right? Like, you have your playbook and you look at the situation, you guess, you know, what's the best play that there is to run. And then if it doesn't work out, you call an audible. Like, that's what makes great coaches?
Hot route.
Yeah.
I like when you use the playbook analogy, because like that you get people who either you get two extremes, right? You have like the people who don't have any system and they're like, yeah, what are we going to do today? And they just, you know, pick, you look at the program, you're like, this is completely random and their choices are random. But, or you have people who they take the progression regression model like too literal, like, okay, I need to do this or I need to do this. And I'm like, listen, like this is a guideline and the guideline is hugely valuable. But now you have to be a coach. They say it's like that Art Scienza idea, like coaching is like an art science, right? And being able to blend that.
Yeah. It's just really great to see people like that are able to have that like light turn on or have that thing just kind of click with everything that they're doing. Again, like you're doing tons of education, yourself, you are presenting a lot, you're doing a lot of teaching. But you know, I always like, I look at you like when we're on a flight, I'm shaking my head because you're opening like a back disorders book up on like this 6-hour flight. I'm like, dude, we're going to be working the next 3 days. Let's just, you know, maybe chill out. But you're kind of always going after with the continuing education stuff. I'm kind of curious if there's either anyone that you've seen presented lately or people's stuff that you've been following that has really been, you know, standing out to you as like, oh yeah, like we have to make sure that we keep an eye on this because they're doing something that we may need to apply in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always bouncing around in between anything I can find. And like for me, like you said, like reading is relaxing for me. And because of the fact that like when you're coaching 24/7, like it's, you're like turned up, go, go, go. Like reading takes me the other way. So whether it's something dense or it's something that's kind of like just enjoyable to read or listen to, them, that, especially with travel, like helps me the most. But I mean, Perform Better over the summer, I saw Greg Rose. I love Dan John. So every time he speaks, like those were my favorite presentations just because I laugh a lot. And he reminds me of things that like I should be doing that maybe I stopped doing or need to get back to doing. Like again, back to the simplicity idea. Like I said, I liked Greg Rose's presentations. I'm signed up for Charlie's course through Perform Better, the T=R3. I think it's in November. I always look forward to Charlie because, again, he kind of, I think, along the same path as him. But most of my continuing ed right now, I'm like diving into the massage stuff hard. As far as like the fascial dysfunctions and the Stecco thought process and fascial manip, like that's kind of where I'm spending a lot of my continuing ed time. Just because, obviously, I mean, I've been training people for like 10 years, but I've only been massaging people for probably four and a half years. So like I'm trying to spend a lot of time there. And Scott Georgiakos, you know, the ninja that we hired in the massage business is extremely strong with that part of the world. Like that's really his background. So he's kind of, I'm honestly learning from him a lot and trying to dive into a lot of the things that he has a background in. So I've been reading a lot of the stuff that he's into. So that's a good challenge for me right now.
Let's go back into programming for a little bit, because you know we're getting really close to New Year's, believe it or not. It is like it's September now, which means we're kind of right around the corner to New Year's. So I think it's always great to start talking about programs and goal setting for people that are kind of looking to, you know, get moving. Obviously the first thing is, you know, usually best not to wait for a date to get started. It's always great. You've mentioned consistency, Kev, a couple times. Like consistency is key. And if you want to, you know, reach your goals, just be not even perfect, just be consistent and you'll be good to go. But when you're kind of looking at programming for the adult population right now, and we'll definitely hit on the athletes in a little bit. When you're looking at programming for the adult population, you know, what is that program kind of looking like for most of the people that you're working with that are just kind of looking for, you know, general fitness? Usually fat loss is going to be, you know, one of the top of their goals and things like that. But what does that program consist of in the hour or so that you have with them?
It's funny, like recently that you asked that, just cause I've been obsessed recently with, the idea of like just overall health and well-being. Like I love training the adult clients. Like we started MBSC, right? Like, cause you like love athletes and you get excited about athletes and I love doing that. But the most fascinating thing right now is like me in dealing with aging, teaching clients about like fighting against aging. Like I'm reading this book, that Dan actually recommended, called Spring Chicken. Again, I can't remember the author. I'm terrible with the names. And it's all about the science of aging and this guy researching aging. And so a lot of the stuff that I've been doing, because a lot of my clients are you know, middle-aged, they probably won't want to hear me say that, but is trying to just increase like health span. So they talk about lifespan, like living a long time, but increasing the amount of health and the length of health that they have. So kind of like a very full, well-rounded approach. So, I mean, if you think about training adults, the boxes you want to check, like we're just always working in mobility, head to toe. Like, okay, did we address these joints today? Did we get through a full range of motion today? General strength, because as you get older, we know that starts to run away from you. So, I mean, again, it's not exciting. Strength in all the basics. So basic pattern competency, like can you goblet squat? Can you push up? Can you row? Can you chin up? Like can you express strength in all these basic patterns? And then neurological, you know, a redevelopment, I don't want to say development, but like as you get older, you become less nimble, you become less agile. And a lot of times you become not just less flexible in a mobility sense, but less flexible in like a neurological sense. Like things like ladder drills, things like being able to shuffle and move in the frontal plane and rotate. Like if you watch some of the adult clients, right, you see them do a ladder drill and you're like, oh my God, like you look like you're like a 2x4, right? So I'm really spending a lot of time, you know, kind of redeveloping adult athleticism, because I, as you get older, the reasons you fall or the reasons you start to slow down is because you just, again, you don't do these things and your nervous system kind of keeps you from that. So trying to re-stimulate athleticism in adults is kind of like really been exciting for me. And that's where I spend a lot of time now with them. So just introducing things that they haven't done before, you know, like in turning training into fun and into games. So they act like kids again, right?
Along with that, I promise we'll get to the athlete stuff in a second, but like you brought up, you've been doing this for 10 years. Like we've both been, oh my God, we're almost like both 30. And
I know, right?
Actually, I am 30. I keep forgetting that. But with all this stuff, it is like for the audience, I get lots of emails from people that are saying like they're just getting into the industry, or that they're in college and they're getting ready to go into the, you know, quote unquote profession, even though as soon as you start training anyone, like you are, I mean, I think you're a professional. And I'm curious, like what are you kind of seeing, like with all the interns that we're getting in the door, like with all the younger coaches that you're getting to talk to, are there any kind of like general things that you're giving to them in terms of advice or just things to keep in mind as they start getting into the profession to help them succeed?
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I'll say like the interns that we're getting, they're getting better and better. and that's not to slight the people we had in the past, because we've had some great ones. But the ones that have come in, they seem to be, at least from my perspective, like have more of a basic understanding of training. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just because the field is getting better and like what we are putting out there for training is spreading further. So that's obviously good. But the advice I always give is just like be a person first. If you look around, and Mike always says like CNP, like certified nice person. If you look around the gym, like everyone there is someone like you'd want to hang out and talk to or have a beer with. And generally the people that are not are the hires that haven't worked out for us. Right. Mm. And so that's number one. I'm like, listen, I was coaching an adult group. Like, hey, I'm back coaching adult group tonight. Very happy about that. 6 p.m. adult group, Tuesday, Thursday, you guys come anytime.
for everyone in the Woburn area.
Yeah, come hop in. But no, I was coaching them with an intern, and they were like, well, you guys, like, this is like fun. Like, it doesn't feel like work, right? Because we're joking around, but we got a lot of work done. And the reason that they come consistently, and the reason like Ken, his groups are like, he has like the most popular adult groups that we've had. Like, they are like overfilled, but they would rather be with Ken, right? And he's a great coach, but it's because he's like very personable and he's funny, right? So, like, I told the interns and the other night, I'm like, listen, like, make friends with these people, and then it's very easy to coach them, right? Mm-hmm. And like we talked about the internship, I was talking to someone had asked me about like advice for hiring interns, and I said like, you know, just hire off personality, and the whole thing, we make them send a video if they can't interview, because we can teach them how to coach. That's easy. That's what we do. But I always tell them like, listen, develop relationships. It's all about relationships first, with whether it's an adult athlete or a high school kid. Coaching is very easy once you become friendly and have a respectful coach-athlete relationship with somebody.
I'm getting ready to trip you up on a question. So it was you know, a really great to do some traveling with, of course, Mike Boyle, owner and our boss, to get to travel with him a lot. You get to kind of see, you know, an awesome personal side of Mike. But I'm kind of curious, like, what have you learned most from him over the last, like, God, like 7 years that you've been, or 8 years counting your internship, been at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning?
It comes back to simplicity and you know, systems. Like, that is what he has done. And I mean, as a coach, like, obviously that's our way of life, the way that he coaches and the way he puts systems together. But then for my business, like the massage business, like, you can just parallel it, right? So when I started developing that with Brendan, like, okay, look at people who are doing things successfully and just copy what they do, right? And so as a business owner, in developing people, that's, I'm trying to every day just look at, okay, what did they do to develop this business? Because, I mean, credit to him and Bob, like, they grow every year. You know, like I said, we grow every year, despite economic conditions and things like that. So, I mean, obviously as a coach, like everybody else, but I mean, we're very lucky in a sense, like you said, that we get to be in that environment with him every single day. So seeing him and Bob as business owners making decisions that way and building systems and how they grow a business and manage a business, that for me has been priceless. And that's a huge advantage that, like, you and I have and the people at MBSC have that, like, other people don't, you know?
Sorry. I didn't know there was a period there. I apologize. Maybe we're still waking up. It's like, again, I was up late watching stupid UFC garbage. If people like UFC, it's awesome. It's just like, I like professional wrestling. I'm an idiot. You're not. Let's make that blatantly clear. Like, I'm going to watch a WWE pay-per-view tonight and I'll be up until 11:30 because of it.
What's the
It is WWE Backlash. Now that they've done a brand split, half the roster's at Raw, half the roster's at SmackDown. This is the SmackDown pay-per-view.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure everyone's super excited for me to waste 1 minute and 30 seconds talking about that. So, you know, kind of going off that stuff, I promised I would get back to athlete programming, because that is, I mean, it's weird. Like, it almost seems like more and more, like, MBSC is turning into a gym that has more adults walking through the door than kids, especially in the, you know, like our fall, spring, and winter. But for the athletes and stuff like that, like, what are the considerations that you think we're making kind of going into the fall and making sure that we're still putting together? And this is something, like, when I talk to, people about MBSC, talk to people about our program, talk to people about, you know, why, like, I believe that our gym is, like, the best in the world, is because, like, if we had a way to make our program better, like, we would. But kind of going into the fall, I'm kind of curious, you know, how you feel about where we're at in terms of, like, athlete programming, you know, things that you kind of like in there, things that you think are, you know, the most important things to have in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to, like, I have a group of high school kids now that we just started with Aaron, and we're coaching them. And, you know, like I said, we're really adult heavy this time of the year, but now coming into the fall, like, you know, we're like a 2 or 3 day program. The kids are generally a little bit younger and have a lower training age than what we see in the summer, right? So, like, I mean, we're just back to drilling Olympic lifting and drilling basic sprint mechanics and things like that. And I mean, and to say, like, we haven't made any huge changes since, like, this, we're pretty similar to what we had in the summer and what we had in the spring as far as the structure of the program goes. So I wouldn't say there's, like, a big thing that we've added, but I mean, we're getting better at making the conveyor belt run smoother, right?
Like, right.
Making sure that the gym flows the right way. Mm-hmm. 'Cause now, like, we have those hockey groups at night, right? So mm-hmm. imagine, like, we have an adult group in there with maybe 15 people. We have that rugby group with probably 10 people. And we have Michaela's hockey team in there with 17 or 18 girls. And then we probably have some personal training going on. And then those hockey groups, which are entire youth hockey teams, all in there at once. So we're pushing around like 100 people in there at once. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing, at least from my perspective, like from a managerial view, when I'm, like, kind of trying to oversee everything, is, okay, how do we cone off this space? How do we manage space and manage programs so that we get the training effect that we want? And that's never really a problem, but how do we do it and not run into each other and have space issues? And you might look at our gym and say, like, how could you have a problem with space? But then when I tell you, like, okay, we rent out a space, an area for softball to do indoor hitting when the winter's not when it gets cold out. So then, like, John has that area. So we lose a bunch of square footage there. And then we're running tempos and we're pushing sleds. Like, how do we manage that? And that's the biggest challenge for for me. And that's where a lot of my energy goes now is I don't want to say crisis management because it's not that crazy, but just managing the floor. And I think for any coach, especially like a high school or college coach who has limited space and resource, that's usually their biggest challenge too, because like, how do I fit a bunch of bodies and still train at once? So that's like, if you know from the staff meetings, and you guys have watched the staff meetings, know that that's our main thing that we talk about, right? Like, how do we keep the gym flowing smoothly? So just kind of platooning people out, moving coaches, and keeping some balance within the chaos on the floor.
Okay, I don't want to hear low back disorders, but as the answer to this question, but like, as someone that is always kind of seeing what, you know, how can we do things better? What is exciting you these days in the world of strength and conditioning and massage and mobility and rehab and stuff like that? What makes like Kevin Carr get excited? And I swear to God, if you say low back disorders, I'm hanging.
No, I'm off the low back disorders. Yeah, I read that book, the McGill book. Good. But
that's a great book. But like, again, like, I'm just kind of like thinking more applicable to the general population type audience that may tune into this show.
Mm-hmm. I just overall, like, health and stress management, like the book. So another great book, like, if people get your pen out, Go Wild. He wrote Spark, John Rattay, and then he has a co-author again. My name escapes me.
I just read that. It's really good.
It's outstanding. It was like what Brendan gave it to me.
Exactly.
He said it's my book of the year, and I would tend to agree with him. So actually, I've been, and I'm like an outdoorsy. Like, I hike a lot. So the big thing I've been trying to get people to do is spend time in nature. And you're gonna be like, wow, this has gotten really earthy, crunchy. But they have a lot of research behind it about the value of being in green space and getting exercise within nature. And the term they use is biophilia. And like, it's about like our innate connection to being in the wild and being in nature, right? And you think about most of the people, general pop, that we train, like, they get no exposure to that. Even though, like, we in an area where we are, like, we're very lucky, like, we have the Fells Way and all that area where there's a lot of green space, but people don't necessarily experience it. And they reference those studies in the book about, you know, your second favorite country there, Japan, about them putting the businessmen and women outside, having them hike for an hour, like, two or three times a week, and seeing the changes, major drops in cortisol and huge spikes in like natural killer cells and immune function, right? So that's pretty undeniable from a scientific perspective, and the value for their overall health and how they deal with stress. Because I mean, really, the reason people come as adult clients to train with us is to not die, right? Like, we're trying to make their life better and healthier most of the time. That's why if you want to really boil it down, they want to look better and lose weight. But it's from a health perspective to keep them living longer and living better. So I've been just trying to look at things from that perspective, more than just like, hey, let's lift weights and, you know, so you can look good at the beach this summer, even though that's part of it. But prescribing them to spend more time, like, hey, if you're not with me, I want you to get a 30-minute jog in the woods, or I want you to go outside and do some sort of activity, whether it's in the water. Like, another book, Blue Mind, has the same type of talk about spending time near or in water. And I know you do that a lot, right? That's your conditioning up there on the North Shore.
So if you follow me on Instagram, that's right.
Yeah.
Jumping off piers.
That's extremely good for you. Like, from like, they talk about, again, like, a stress management standpoint, and that's what we do with training with all these adults. So I've been really kind of obsessed with that recently. One, because I love that myself, but two, because I think it's a huge piece that a lot of adult clients, like, they're stuck in an office all day, and they never really get any exposure to nature and to green space and to water. So that's been my obsession.
Yeah, I think It was a weird thing a couple of years ago, at least when I was starting to follow the industry. Like, people got scared to death of quote unquote steady state cardio and stuff like that. And I think that they have, I will speak personally, like I didn't want to go on like long bike rides. I'm like, I'm not going to be in like doing, I'm not going to be in like 165, 170 beats per minute for my heart rate. Like I want to make sure like I'm only, if I'm going to go do cardio, it's only going to be like on an Aerodyne or something like that. But like the best investment that I've made this year is I bought like a $500, what is it? I think it's a Trek. What the hell did I get? I think it's a Trek like mountain bike, and a couple days a week, my ass is on that. Whether it like be going to the bank, I'll like find excuses to go out on my bike and just get away from the computer and to get away from work for a little bit. And the impact that it's had, like I don't know if it's had lots of impact on me physically. I'm sure burning an extra like 800 calories is good, but like mentally, like I always come back super refreshed. Listen to some good music. Got into the NWA this year for this summer.
Nice.
Thank you, Straight Outta Compton, for introducing me to that fantastic album. But yeah, I think that you know people really underrate. Just like, don't worry, just go out and go for a walk, and like the impact that you can have. My best ideas come from my morning walk or my afternoon walk with my dog. Like I always am talking to my phone. Remind me in 30 minutes that I want to do this, this, and this, or something like that. And it's always great to come back and like almost have like a list pop up on my phone or on my computer.
Yeah, I'm legit going to go right out into the woods and hike right after I get off the phone with you here. So I'm right there with you.
Awesome. We won't go too much longer. But, you know, kind of going off all this stuff, like I'm always interested to, you mentioned a couple books, but has there been anything else that you've been kind of like going through in terms of reading for this year? Because we actually haven't done a show this year. So I'm kind of curious what you've been up to this year. What's in the, like the rankings for your top books for 2016.
I'm legit like sitting next to my bookshelf as I look over here. What's great is that I'll tell you, if you guys are in a workplace, like start a book club. That's been the best thing, and credit to you, because Kevin, because like you were really pushed this whole thing about us all reading and sharing thoughts on books. But like we've gotten so much. I've read a lot of books that I might not have read in the last year because of the MBSC book club. Mm. So, I mean, I loved Extreme Ownership, and that was one of the ones that we read in the book club, Jocko Willink. And then from that, listening to his podcast, which is kind of like that book, but like a little bit more uncensored. Mm-hmm. And off the cuff, which if you really like that book, I listen to that podcast every week, and it kind of gives you, it's a good like kind of, you know, smack in the face about like your attitude and leadership and things like that, because he is a no nonsense type of guy. So for me, like that, I listen to that all the time. So that's on the audio end of things. And then as far as books go, I liked Flow, the book all about, you know, the optimal experience. That's that's one a lot of people have read. I did that one this year, which I really enjoyed. Again, like I said, Go Wild. And that was definitely my book of the year. And then again, like a lot of the stuff I've dove into recently, like you said, is a little heavier as far as the fascial manip stuff, and that's like where I spend a lot of my time. It's not exciting to you, I'm sure, but if you're a massage therapist, that's where I put my head.
I got my copy of Anatomy Trains in my house. Next.
I think we're reading Boys in the Boat is our next book. In the book club, and I'm pretty excited about that because that was a highly recommended book from like pretty much all my clients. And then I saw that Mike, I got the sneak peek. I saw a pile of them in Mike's office.
Oh, cool!
So I think that's going to be the next one down the road after we finish. What is it? Lessons from the Mouse is the book we're doing now.
Yeah, I think like at MBSC, like we're for our book club, we're really into, I guess, like self-development and also customer service. That's where like Lessons of the Mouse is coming in. But I definitely got some, like I'll throw this on your list whenever you have another opportunity to read another book. But Peak, Secrets from New Science of Experience is really good. Anders Ericsson is the author of that. That book is badass. That's like a perfect book for someone that's feels like they're never able to make progress, or you kind of work with people that feel like they might come into you and be like, yeah, like I, you know, feel like I'm not making progress. This is kind of like the book that will help you talk to them a little bit more. And if you just want to become an expert in anything, it has a lot of great research that will help cover that as well. So, you know, as we start wrapping up, like, we will let you get out into the mountains. I'm going to get on my bike as well. But kind of coming up, like, is there anything that you have coming up that people should keep an eye out for, whether it be like speaking engagements or teaching or anything like that?
We got some certified FSC events coming up in the fall, some CFSCs coming up in New York at Drive 495. And then mm-hmm. we have New Jersey down at Endeavor. So excited for those. We haven't been at Endeavor yet, so our good friends down there. That's September 25th in Pittman, New Jersey. And then was it October 16th at Drive. And then really excited to go to Tennessee and see Drew Massey. We're going to do a CFSC at Game Time Sports and training on October 22nd. Mm-hmm. So really excited for that one. I've never been to Tennessee, so that'll be the nice benefit of teaching is I get to go see places I've never been before, and I really like that. Oh, and then when's the one in Maine? We have one at
October. I believe it's October 29th. My browser's not working right now. I was trying to pull it up, but Safari is just dropping the ball these days. Let me see if I can get into something else and give you guys more specific dates. Like Kev mentioned, Pittman, New Jersey, September 25th. We're going to be in New York City at Drive 495 on October 16th. Tennessee, like Kev mentioned, at Drew's place, October 22nd. Then the 29th, we'll be in Brunswick, Maine, which is going to be an awesome event. They get a beautiful facility out at Coastal Performance. And like friends of ours, like they're always going to the Perform Better Summit, so we get to see those guys a lot. And then on November 4th and 5th, November 4th and 5th, Kev is going to be out in Dubai for a mm-hmm. level one and level two. You're going to be heading back. What was that experience like?
It was amazing there, and credit to Carla and the team with Perform Better over there. They do an amazing job. Dubai is I told people this way, when they asked me, I said, just put it on the bucket list of places you want to go visit. It was amazing. So, I mean, it's the cleanest, nicest, like everything's over the top. The architecture, just it's an eye-opener when you go there. It was extremely hot. I was there in July. They told me that. Yeah, it was over 110 degrees. The beach was fine. It was a little cooler in the city. Pretty unbearably hot in July. But November, they assure me it's going to be perfect weather, so I'm excited. And the people who came to the event were awesome, so I'm really looking forward. I did not imagine like how many coaches and enthusiasm there would be for coaching there, but they're eating it up because I know FMS, I think, is there now or it's going to be there fairly soon. And then we'll be back in November. So I'm really looking forward to going back there for level one and level two.
Also, November 4th and 5th, we're going to be, 5th and 6th, we're going to be at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, also doing a level one and level two. So we'll basically be doing the same weekend. We'll be doing level one and level twos back to back in two different areas. And also that weekend, this is how we roll. We got such a great team. And you know, again, like whenever I like talk about NBSC, it's like, you bet your ass I think it's the best gym in America. Like I said, it's like the program, the facility, but you know, more than anything, it's the incredible staff, and that's how we're able to do this stuff. We have just an incredible team to run these events of just people that have so much experience at the gym, and really they're the people running the gym day to day. Also, Oregon, Salem, Oregon on November 5th, Brandon Rarick is going to be running that one. You've heard him on the show a couple times. And then don't forget, like, the really cool thing that we're doing this year, and this is what's really exciting for me, is that we're on October 8th and 9th, we're actually doing our very first CFSC summit where it's only open for CFSCs. But what we're doing is we're actually doing like a cool one day or 2 day event to get all the CFSCs together to, like, you know, hang out, do some education stuff with some lectures from Kev and Mike Boyle and Bern Rarick and myself. And also, the cool thing is that we get to donate all the proceeds to the Dental Lang Foundation, which is going to be just a really great thing to be able to do. And we have pretty cool jobs, Kev.
Yeah, it's fun. I was talking to one of my friends last night who I hadn't seen in a while, and he's like, doesn't sound like you're talking about work.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, you're right. It doesn't feel like work.
I think Mike put it perfectly. We were in a meeting yesterday, and you know, he's like, yeah, you know, I could probably be doing something else, could probably be, you know, making more money, but there's not many jobs where you can, you know, walk into work dressed in a t-shirt and shorts and sandals. Like, It's not a bad
it's
deal.
It's that simple.
Well, we'll kind of leave things there for now, but make sure, like, if you are part of the social media crowd, you can follow Kev. First, like, there's a couple things that you should probably follow. First is Movement is Medicine on Instagram, because you guys kind of have like almost a, like almost as many followers as The Rock at this point.
Is I'm working on Rock status. Yeah, I would like that.
But he's got what is it? Movement-as-medicine on Instagram?
No, it's just Movement as Medicine. The website is, I couldn't get the URL of, right, of Movement as Medicine. Someone grabbed that one. But the Instagram is just at Movement as Medicine.
And
you could find most of our stuff there.
And for you, your Instagram for your personal stuff is Kev_in_CARR, like Kevin Carr. Couldn't get Kevin Carr either.
No, I couldn't. I tried, man. It's always like, it's a battle, but that was as close as I could get, you know?
And then you can get him on Twitter at Coach Kevin Carr, or at Coach Kev Carr.
Kevin Carr.
Got it. Awesome. All right. Well, man, you got a lot of awesome stuff coming up, and you got a great hike coming up today as well. So I'm gonna let you go. But for everyone else out there, I just like to quickly mention, don't forget to go to fitcast.network for all the shows. Who knows? You might want to know about Super Castlevania 4 this week, so you can jump on there and learn about Super Castlevania 4 on the Super Nintendo. Hey, I don't know. Most people grew up with a Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis if you're cool. But if you didn't, you can go learn about that on Back of My Play, as well as a new book club is coming up in the next couple weeks. So stay tuned for that. And I do want to give an extra special thank you to anyone that does support the show at patreon.com/TheFitCast. That means so much. It helps me make this show every single week, and it shows that you really find value in this content. So thank you so much, you guys. Every time I get one of those emails of someone new jumping on, and it's also cool when I get to recognize those names from people on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you so much for helping me do this show that I've loved to do for the last over 10 years.
Wow.
Thank you for that. And thank you, Kev, for taking time out of your Sunday morning, the start of the NFL season, because that's when the Patriots play. And go get in your hike so you can get back in time for the games.
I'll tell you right now, I'm going to go get my nature time because I'm about to get my football time.
Hell yeah.
Even though TB12 won't be on the field, I will be firmly planted on the couch watching football the rest of the day after that. So
well, it'll be fun to kind of see how things go. And don't forget to check out, and again, certifiedfsc.com is where you can check out our registration. I will say just real quickly, last thing, we've done so many of these. We've had 1,600 people certified, and just incredible feedback. If you talk to anyone, talk to someone that you know that's been certified, ask them what they thought of it. And literally, like, that's all I really need to say, because everyone that's been certified has had nothing but incredible feedback for us. And I think the common things that we get a lot, Kev, is best continuing education I've ever done.
Yeah, that is the most common thing. And it's funny to say that. But yes, the feedback has been outstanding. And I'm really proud of our team. And everything that we've done the last like year and a half here.
All right, I promise we're going to wrap it up now. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week and for hanging out with us today. And don't forget to check out all those other shows. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a great week. Take care.